Blog Talk Radio.
She couldn't keep from crying when she told me goodbye. But I knew, Lord, it was breaking her heart, but she was breaking mine. So for the sake of her feelings and the sake of my pride, I told her not to worry about me. So I'm sitting here soaking up the neon light, misery, looking for some company. And tonight I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming her back and laughing out loud, where the smoke's so thick the blues can't hang around. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care, if they're dancing over here or fighting over. So take my keys and lock them up tight, and let the good times flow. And I worry about tomorrow when it comes to light. The night's still young and I'm on the road tonight. I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud, where the smoke's so thick when blues can't hang around. With the
Austin Dillon, driver of the Dallas Chevrolet, and you're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Fly from Talladega, Alabama. You're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Big thanks to Richmond International Raceway track president Dennis Bickmeyer and public relations director Amy Turner. To purchase your ticket for the Toyota Care 250 on April the 24th for a NASCAR Xfinity Series, or the Toyota Owners 400 on April 25th for a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Call 866-455-RACE or visit www.rir.com. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Live from Talladega, Alabama, we have a great show lined up, and let's get everything started off. Let's bring on our official reverend from the show, Mr. Reverend Joe from out in Riverside, California. Everybody welcome Reverend to the show. Reverend, how you doing, bud?
Good, Tim. How you doing?
We're doing good. Finally got some good weather. We got Megan Thomas coming up here in approximately 5 minutes to talk about everything. But just want to let everybody know we got some thunderstorms headed this way. And I hope Stephen Wilson, if I lose power, I always want to throw out there, Stephen, to take over until I can get to my cell phone, bud.
Well, the weather's like 80 degrees today. We're really suffering out here, so. Sun shining bright, and just a terrible thing.
I'm jealous, Red. But, how's everything going, bud? You doing okay?
We're doing okay. You know, things are pretty tight, though, financially, but I finally got over whatever that bug was I caught on the road, and feeling much better that way. So we're heading in the right direction. Things are going well. My race car's actually getting together little by little, but there again, funds go to the ministry first, and then whatever I personally have left over goes in the race car. So it's kind of getting, it's going to have the ugliest looking body on it you ever saw, but as long as it goes fast, who cares?
Amen, Reverend.
So let's get this party started, huh?
Yes, sir. Crank it up, bud.
Lord, we come before you tonight, and we thank you so much for all you do. We ask you to please bless those who've lost loved ones. Be with them, help them. We also ask your special blessings on those that, friends of ours all over the country that we know are suffering with different ailments. Please be with them and give them strength and have them know that you're there with your arms wrapped around them. Please, Lord, watch over all the racers at all the different local tracks and on the big series this weekend. Keep them safe. Keep everybody secure. We thank you for the IndyCar driver who got hit by that car last weekend and wasn't hardly injured other than some stitches in his leg. We thank you for all you do to protect us. We also ask you to watch over our troops all over the world and especially watch over their families here at home. Be with us all. And thank you for sending your son to die for our sins so that belief in him will give us a free pass into heaven. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Reverend Joe, as always, another great invocation. Thank you very much, bud. And if you want to stay on for a second, we got our good friend, what I have, a.k.a. nicknamed her Mother Nature. Come on, you want to stay on a minute, bud?
Sure.
Okay. Let's bring Miss Megan Thomas, a meteorologist for ABC 3340 here in Birmingham, Alabama. She's our official weather lady, which I nicknamed Mother Nature. Let's bring Megan in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mother Nature, how you doing tonight?
I am doing good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Thank you for coming on again, as usual, with your Ira. Official weather lady that I nicknamed Mother Nature. And, you know, like I just said just a minute ago, Megan, I know we got some thunderstorms headed this way, and I want Stephen Wilson to know, just in case I lose power, I want him to take over. But, Megan, yeah, the NASCAR Xfinity Series will be headed, along with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, headed up to Thunder Valley this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. The NASCAR Xfinity Series Drive to Stop Diabetes 300 will be Saturday all times Eastern at 1:30. And the Sprint Cup Series Food City 500 in support of Steve Burns will be there that Sunday. You got the floor,
so please. It's a busy, busy weekend. I want to first start off with things here because it's going to be, again, wet. I know things in Birmingham have been wet all week, and I hate to say it, but it's going to continue to stay that way throughout the weekend. We've got temperatures this weekend in Birmingham near, oh, I think anywhere between like 70s, upper 70s across the board. And unfortunately, showers and thunderstorms are likely. So that's not the best news, but it's going to be quite the soaker around here. But as far as Bristol, Tennessee is concerned, on Saturday, if you're headed down early, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll stay mostly cloudy throughout the day with a high near 72. So low 70s across the board, I'd say anywhere from 70 to 75. Overnight, temperatures in the 50s. Sunday, a hair cooler, upper 60s, low 70s, so around 70 degrees, 50% chance of showers and storms. So hopefully those hold off during the race time. But overnight on Sunday, looks like things are going to stay mostly cloudy with lows in the 50s. So they, too, are experiencing some wet weather coming up this weekend.
Yes, ma'am, just like we are, too. You know, just like I've watched you and James Spann and Charles Daniels, yeah. We got a lot of water headed our way, but Megan, our Reverend Joe out there in Riverside, California. I know he wants to brag about his water. Reverend, if you want to brag about it, Megan, go ahead, bud.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a terrible thing. It's about 90 degrees out, sun's shining bright, and it's going to be that boring for the next week. But
well, that's fabulous. However, I do know that y'all are in a serious drought out there.
This is true, but I think maybe we just got to get a pipeline coming across the country and let you guys send us some water.
You know, I feel like we should do that just to save us.
Yeah, I think that might help. But, you know, I was thinking that we just had the West Coast Swing of NASCAR, and I went to all three of those races, and it was sunny the whole time. So
yeah,
I think maybe it's Tim's fault. That it's raining down there in Alabama.
It could be. I don't know. But
wait a minute. It ain't my fault. It's the good Lord's fault. I can't control that.
No. Wait a minute. Time out. You can't blame God for lousy weather. You can blame Mother Nature for that, but you can't blame God for lousy weather. Because if you think about it, if I was God, I would never answer anybody's prayers about weather, because they complain no matter what's going on. It's raining over there, you're complaining. It's sunny over here, people are complaining. I would just ignore the whole thing.
I 100% agree. Except they gave me Mother Nature, so I don't want to be in charge of that.
Well, that's what I just told me. Maybe Mother Nature wouldn't be the right name for you, you know?
Yeah, it's my fault. I think the other day I tweeted at Mother Nature or something like that, and that Mother Nature has a Twitter and tweeted me back.
So you
gotta
be careful.
Know, Megan, one good thing out of it, this rain is knocking the pollen out of there. What's the?
That's
do you have any influence
I suffer
of
serious
pollen
allergies. Yeah, that's the good news. I have serious allergies, and the rain knocks it out. But once it stops, it comes back, and I'm sneezing again.
Yeah,
I know
that's
it
an
is.
Awful thing.
And Megan, thank you again. And if you want to throw out there where everybody can follow you in on social media, I know your time is limited, but you got the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at MegTom_WX. And then on Facebook, it's just meteorologist Megan Thomas. So everybody should follow me, and I post great updates, and everyone sends me pictures, and I love to share them on the air.
Team 4,
God
Megan.
Bless
thank
you, Megan.
Very much.
All right, guys.
Take care.
All right, Megan, you have a good night.
You too. Stay dry.
Yes, ma'am. Talk to you next week, Megan. That was a good friend, Megan Thomas, ABC 3340 in Birmingham, meteorologist. Before I bring Stephen Wilson on, Reverend Joe, you got the floor. You want to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media?
Yes, they can find me on Twitter at Rev, R-E-V, Joe. Bubbico, which is B-U-B-B-I-C-O. That's at Rev Joe Bubbico. or on Facebook at Rev, there again for Reverend, but Rev Joe Bubico is my handle on Facebook, and I post scripture on there every day, so you can get your bit of scripture reading. I go through the Bible from front to back, and if you have any questions, concerns, things that you want to know about, please drop me an email, hit me up on Facebook. We'd love to talk with you. And our webpage for the ministry is ontrackwithjesus.org. And find out more information there about us. So we look forward to that. And next week, Dennis Bickmeyer's coming on, isn't he?
Yes, sir. That's 10-4. We will let you stay on also. Yeah, we've got Dennis coming on at the bottom of the hour, 7:30 Eastern Time. My good friend, Johnny Hurst. Talladega Super Speedway. He's going to come on and talk about after Dennis. I might bring him on there a little bit with Dennis, but yeah, he's going to come on and talk about what it takes to get the massive facility at Talladega Super Speedway ready for race weekend. He was on last fall. We're going to bring him back on, but yeah, Reverend, thank you very much, and we
God bless you guys.
Talking to you next. God bless you too, and we'll let you stay on as long as you want to next week, Reverend. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, buddy. God bless. Take care.
God bless you too. Folks, that was our, our Reverend, my term, Riverside, California, Reverend Joe. We've got callers lined up, but I want to bring on my co-host, my good friend from Richmond, Virginia, CEO, SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Stephen, how you doing tonight, bud? I know we had a big weekend at Texas Motor Speedway and got another big one coming up at Thunder Valley. What's going on, bud?
Well, I'm surviving, I suppose, like everybody else is.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I heard you ailing a little bit. You doing all right, bud?
Yeah, I'm making it through. Well, like I said, I'm surviving, if nothing else.
I heard that. Sorry to hear, bud. Maybe you get feeling better here before long. But yeah, you and I talked earlier. I'm going to cover a little bit on the ARCA Racing Series presented by Menards. Event number 3 was at Fairgrounds Speedway in Nashville, Tennessee, 4:11:15. The top 10 finishers, starting with number 10th, was Thomas Prater. 9th was Michael Lear. 8th was Clay Grinfield. 7th was Josh Williams. 6th was my good friend David Levine. 5th was Kyle Weatherman. 4th was Brandon Jones. 3rd was Austin Wayne Self. 2nd was Matt Tiff. And winner of event number 3, my good friend from Fairhope, Alabama, Mr. Grant Enfinger. I'm telling you, Grant's been getting some yonder, bud. Whatever he's got in that car, I mean, it don't matter what car he gets in, Grant is getting some yonder. Just touch a little bit on the points. The top 10, Kyle Weatherman and Matt Tiff are tied for 9th and 10th. Josh Brandon's 8th. Bobby Hamilton Jr. 7th. Tom Hessert and Thomas Prater tied for 5th. And 4th, David Levine from, And then 3rd, Austin Wayne Self. 2nd, Josh Williams. And Grant Enfinger leads the points in the ARCA Racing Series. He's got 720. Josh Williams got 6. So Grant's got a good big jump on him this time. Maybe another Grant's got a shot at the championship. You got the floor, buddy. If you're able, if you need any help, let me know. I'll hop in. Everything went on at Texas Motor Speedway this past weekend.
Yeah, so first race under lights for the year here in the both Xfinity and the Sprint Cup Series at Texas Motor Speedway this past weekend. Xfinity Series, you got to give it to them. That was a fairly, fairly good race out there all weekend long. Eric Jones, the eventual winner of the race, I tell you what, he had a car out there that I don't think anybody could beat even during the race. He even gave Dale Earnhardt Jr. a little shove there in the middle of the race trying to get him out the way, and He had a very, very fast car. You can't take that away from him by any means. Started on the pole, ended up winning the event out there. you know, first Xfinity Series win for him, and he's only 18 years old. He's the second youngest winner there at Texas after Chase Elliott had won there last year. Brad Keselowski, he came in second, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. third. The highest finishing rookie of the night was Darrell Wallace Jr. for Roush Fenway Racing, and leading out of there, Ty Dillon is still leading the points by two over Chris Buescher.
Sounds good. And yeah, that's the Xfinity side of things. And just to throw out after, I got to interview Eric Jones at Talladega Super Speedway last year before the National Camp World Truck Series. One class act gentleman. I think he's got his act together, and he's hooked up with a good team with Kyle Busch Motorsport.
Yeah, he does. I mean, Eric Jones, he's shown a lot of potential, and hopefully, you know, there's some talk that hopefully he'll be able to get into a Sprint Cup car here soon, even if it's just for one or two races out there. He's shown a lot in the Camper World Truck Series that he came in there with Kyle Busch Motorsports, showing up in the Xfinity Series, splitting a ride not only for the number 54 for Kyle Busch Motorsports, but in the 20 car also there for Joe Gibbs Racing. You know, he's done an excellent job as far as this is concerned, and you know, he's going to make it up there. He's going to be in the Sprint Cup Series in the next couple of years. He's one of these guys that you're going to have to be able to watch. He's a young guy. He's got a lot of talent behind him with being able to drive those cars and even trucks out there. So it's like almost anything you put him in. He's doing pretty good out there as far as that's concerned, and you will definitely see him. I know that there was some talk that came out today that Michael Waltrip and Rob Kaufman, the owner, co-owner with Michael Waltrip, said that, you know, they could potentially maybe put a deal together to put him in a Sprint Cup Series car at some point in the future, even if it is just for a couple of races out there. But, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing has no space. They're maxed out with all four cars that they can have. So Eric Jones is going to have to find somewhere else, and hopefully maybe Michael Waltrip Racing here will be able to put him in something at least temporarily until something frees up here in the near future. But he's got a fair few years before we're going to see him running full-time in the Sprint Cup Series.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You don't want to bring him on too fast. And just to touch a little bit about that before I let you go with the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, out there at Texas for the Duck Commander 500. I had heard a few rumors floating around about maybe David Reagan stepping back out and going back to Front Row Motorsports and Kyle Busch Motorsports putting Eric, you know, back in the, putting him at his first Sprint Cup start in the 18. Have you heard anything out of media or anything about that, Stephen, or is it not true?
You know, I have not actually heard anything like that. There is actually a scheduled conference tomorrow with Joe Gibbs Racing and Kyle Busch. I'm assuming that it will be some kind of timeline as to when Kyle will be back in the car in the number 18 there in the Sprint Cup Series. But, you know, he still has a couple of weeks left before he should even think about getting into a car. Bristol is not a place for him to get back in the car. Obviously, Reagan is already scheduled to enter this weekend. Richmond next weekend is another short track, a lot of demanding track to be on. It won't be a decent track for him to come back. And even Talladega, it's so big, it's so fast, and being a restricted plate race, you don't want to get back out there, be stuck in something, and then get re-injured out there. So, you know, he's got the next couple of weeks, probably isn't, you know, somewhere that he needs to really be starting at, you know, for his first start back. As far as, you know, taking Eric Jones and putting him into the number 18, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing, they do have to be concerned about points when it comes to the end of the year. And David Reagan has done a phenomenal job with the car. You know, he's been up there. I mean, he's been able to get in the top 10. He's pretty far up in the points as it is right now, and there's no sense really taking him out the car because they need to keep the points going, and they can't really risk being, you know, putting Eric Jones in that car because NASCAR will potentially maybe give Kyle Busch a pass if he does win and get him into the chase later on this season. So these are things that they have to take into consideration, and at this point, David Reagan has just done a phenomenal job with keeping that car up there.
Yes, I will definitely agree. David Reagan, I mean, you put him in some equipment, he can get some yonder too, bud. But before we got our guests coming up here at the bottom of the hour, I know you hadn't touched on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. If you want to go ahead and touch on that a little bit, we've got a few minutes before we got the bottom of the hour. Yes, Bud, you got the floor.
Yeah, Sprint Cup Series out at Texas Motor Speedway Saturday night underneath the lights. You know, Jimmy Johnson, eventual winner of the race, him and Kevin Harvick all night long, those two guys were the guys to beat out there. Coming down to the end, even the late last 10 to 13 laps or so, those guys were going back at it. Kevin Harvick had a definite shot to winning if they had a few more laps, but that's a shoulda, coulda, wanna situation. Jimmy Johnson, he did everything that he could all weekend long, getting his second win of the season out there. I mean, he's already locked into the chase by his virtue of his Atlanta win, but now he's got two to go right along with Kevin Harvick out there. So those two guys, you know, definitely already locked in at this point. You know, it was a good race out there. The surface out there at Texas Motor Speedway over the last couple of years has definitely weathered itself in fairly nicely, like we've seen over at Auto Club Speedway. So, you know, it's getting better. It's producing better racing out there, and we'll leave it. Hopefully, they'll leave the track alone. Second place out there, you know, Kevin Harvick. He did a phenomenal job again all night long. Can't take anything away from him and what he did. This is one heck of a race that he's been putting on here in the last couple of weeks. He's extended. He's continuing to lead the points out there by 26 over Joey Logano. He's the man to beat this year. I don't think you can take anything away from him, but he definitely hasn't lost anything from 2014, and he's making sure that he's defending this championship again this year.
Yes, Steven, you touched on a lot of good stuff out there with a lot of my people here at work, a lot of people on social media, you know, talking about Kevin Harvick. Since Kevin Harvick has left Richard Childress and moved over to Stuart Haas, I mean, you know, he's, I don't know what the connection was, but everything really blowed up. I mean, you know, if I had to pick one right now to probably win the championship, it would be the 4 or the 48. And to talk about the 48 again, I think Jimmy Johnson found that golden horseshoe again, bud.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, he's had an up and down season. He did not do very good there at Martinsville, hit everything out there. It was not one of his better Martinsville races out there. He did not show his domination at all that we've seen in the last couple of years. And even in 2014, the latter part of 2014, he was not very dominant. He did not do very well last year, getting knocked out of the chase fairly early on. And not even making it down to the point of Homestead. So, you know, this is a situation with Jimmy Johnson that he's getting back into it. But as we always say, every time that the chase changes with something in the chase, the way that they change the roles or the way that you get in or the way that you race for the championship, Jimmy Johnson has always been statistically not that great in the first year or two of that changeover. Now, after that team catches on to something, that's when they end up winning a championship. And, you know, maybe not this year, and as long as there's no changes next year, I would say probably Jimmy Johnson next year will have a much better opportunity, just statistically speaking, over the last couple of years.
I will agree, Steven. Yeah, I mean, just like you said, it's so whenever NASCAR makes a change, it takes Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus, and everybody over there at Hendrick Motorsports, you know, to really touch on that and find out exactly what they need. But talking about, is there any breaking news out of NASCAR? I have not gotten no email about anybody penalized after Texas. I know they were talking, I've seen a lot of talk about this new dashboard. NASCAR talking about going digital. I think Jamie McMurray done some testing with it or something. You know, they're taking away all the older tacks and RPM gauges and all that out, and they're going to go digital. Do you think that's a good thing, Stephen, far as the sanctioning body, or do you think we're going back to taking the quote-unquote stock out of stock car like NASCAR did back when they brought the car tomorrow and put that ugly Indy 500 wing on the back of it?
Well, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made either way into it. Anytime a change is made, I mean, you cannot say in the last 25 years that these cars are stock by any means. These are purpose-built race machines in a shop. These are not something that in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s that somebody showed up with a car off the line, modified it, and put it out onto the racetrack. So, I mean, this has been 30 years that there's really not been a stock car out there. These are not stock bodies by any means. There's nothing stock about these cars. There's nothing that you can find in that car that you can go out and find on the street these days. So, you know, the argument can be made either way. I think this is a way to go into the future. The digital panels are something that have been talked about for the last couple of seasons out there, taking it away from the mechanical tax and mechanical fuel pressure gauges and things like that that they run in the cars currently. You know, in fact, actually, Ford Racing about 2 or 3 weeks ago just put a position up looking for somebody that has technological background and race engineering background to work with Ford and to work with the Ford back teams out there to bring these digital instrument panels into these cars. You know, we go back to we can even make the argument, you know, just 2 seasons ago when we were running carburetors and everything, and now we've gone to electronic fuel injections with ECU chips into them. So, you know, these things are just a natural progression in the cars. They haven't been stock cars in 25 years. So, I mean, it's really not an argument that can even be made anymore. Maybe if I were to say 25 years ago, if they decided to go to a digital instrument panel, I would have probably agreed with it in that, you know, this isn't a stock car anymore. But we're so far beyond that argument that I don't think it's even, in my opinion, even still consider as an argument for anybody.
Yeah, Tim, for good. I mean, I just want to sort of throw that out there, you know, because I've heard a lot of people, you know, just like, you know, me and you have talked, everybody's talking about the length of the races. And I know me and you could talk about that forever. I mean, you know, I'm a big NASCAR fan. Been that way for years. Ever since I think I have to grass over here in Talladega. But we've got our first guest coming on. We want to bring on driver of the number 47, Leo Plantation Chevy for Team Stange and the NASCAR K&M Pro Series East from Newark, New Jersey, Mr. Mike Seneca.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Mike, how you doing tonight, bud? I figured that might give you a little bit of flashback back to your wrestling days, bud.
Yeah, I was just saying, I'm ready to climb back in the ring, Tim. How appropriate. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, bud. Again, thank you for taking time out to come on our show, The Pit Stop. Tim's fan, Stephen Wilson. We're live from Talladega, Alabama. Stephen's in Richmond, Virginia. And if you don't mind, I'm going to hand you over to Stephen, because Stephen's a little bit under the weather. He might have to leave early, so I'm going to let Stephen have you first, and I'll get you second, bud, if that's okay. Then we got Suzanne got some callers lined up, maybe a few questions, but okay, bud.
That would be great. Absolutely. Sure.
Hey, Mike. Steve Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw this first question out there for you. You know, you were a professional wrestler out there that you turned into the stock car racing. You've been in the ARCA racing series. Now you've moved into the K&N Pro Series. What is the biggest challenge for you to take a career change, such as going from professional wrestling over to stock car racing?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the physical requirements to drive a 32,000-pound stock car are just kind of fall in line with being in the professional wrestling ring. I mean, obviously, when if you're a professional wrestler, you have to be in great shape, and you have to, you know, adhere to that. You know, obviously, they said, I mean, that's when I was, back in the day, they said, I mean, I was very very diligent about what I eat, you know, so, and I still am today. But I think the rigors of driving a race, you know, I think you need more stamina, I think, today, because, you know, a wrestling match can go on for, I think the longest match I ever did was like 20 minutes. And, you know, you're in that race car for about 3 hours, you know, and on and off and with practice and what have you. So you got to have that stamina. I think that's kind of where the key ingredient, I think, is. You got to really, you know, you've got to adhere to the car, and you've got to kind of just have a little focus, and a lot more focus, I think, than in wrestling, but I think both sports are thinking men and women's sport, if you will. So,
and you know, you're not exactly the youngest guy in the world, and I'm not throwing you on the bus by any means. But when you look at the field, not only in the K&N series, but look across all of stock car racing in general, from the ARCA series all the way into the Camping World and the Xfinity series and NASCAR, you know, you're competing against guys that just barely even have their driver's license out there. Some of them even 16, 17 years old. what do you do to compete against, you know, much younger guys? Some of those guys even have a longer racing career than you do, starting at, you know, 5 or 6 years old in go-karts. And what have you been able to learn from them in competing against them?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of these young kids coming on board, I mean, you're right. I mean, the competition is very very tight. You know, one guy who I took a liking to is Gray Golding. I mean, Gray's a good kid. I mean, he we were talking at Greenville last week, and I actually did a charity kart race with Gray a couple of years ago. We were kind of just reminiscing, but you're right. These kids say, I mean, they've got the talent to be at this level of racing. What I look at it as being, I mean, every time you jump in the car, it's a learning experience. I mean, it has to be. You know, you always want to walk away from the track learning something, or, you know, you look at it as a positive. For me, I think the fact of staying in shape, I think that definitely helps. I work out I go to the gym 6 days a week. I'm very diligent about that. I mean, that's very important. Nutrition is very important as well. You've got to be able to, you know, as I said, you know, you got to have the stamina to compete at these levels now, because again, you know, the races get longer now, and, you know, it's some of these hotter summer months coming up. I'll tell you, boy, you got to have that stamina. And, you know, again, you know, you got to stay hydrated throughout the day, and that's important. I know a couple of weeks ago when Kyle Larson kind of, like, you know, when he fainted at the track there, you know, in Martinsville, they're, oh my God. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, this kid's only, what, he's like 21. And the kid's in great shape, but, you know, he wasn't hydrated. He wasn't eating properly. That's a key element. That's why I have a race day nutritionist who works with me, Brent Hartman. He'll constantly monitor my diet, you know. I mean, well, you know, and that's important. You've got to be able to have that, you know, in your repertoire, because if you go in there and you're eating, you know, hamburgers, hot dogs, Doritos, you know, I'll tell you, you're probably not going to feel that good at the end of the day. So, I mean, I think that's a big key of it is nutrition and working out.
And this year, you've moved over and you're going to be competing full-time with Team Stange Racing out there. It was just announced back in December that in 2015 this was going to be your year with them. What have you been able to learn from that team? You know, they're a fairly young team out there. They haven't been around as maybe as long as some of the other teams in the Can-Am Series have. But what have you been able to see and learn from them, and what do you feel that you guys can do going forward to be able to continue learning and to continue getting better starts and better finishes out of the team and move on?
I think the team personnel that John has got lined up over at Team Stang is a definite plus. Dave Wolfmeyer, you know, works as my crew chief. You got Rick Crawford, you got John Stang, you got his wife Ashley Stang. You know, these are racing people. These are people that know the business. And I felt very comfortable with. I only met John back in that November of 2014, and we just started talking. And, you know, John gets the picture. He gets the big idea about marketing, Bell Plantation, and AM2 and the sponsors. I mean, it's all about marketing and, I guess, implementing new, I guess, sales, potential sales for the product itself. So, but I've learned basically from Rick Crawford, you know, Dave Wolfmeyer, they pull you over. Rick is really good. You know, he's a good shoe, and, you know, he's still a good shoe. And he's got a lot of great information he shares with the team. My teammate, Christian Talea, you know, Rick kind of more like works hand in hand with Christian, but at Greenville, Rick pulled me aside and was like, hey, you know, that corner, I would drive it a little deeper if I were you. I was like, okay. So things like that do help. I mean, as I say, but the whole team, from the owners to our pit crew, I mean, everybody puts in a class number one A effort, which is much appreciated. So I'd say this a team in general. I mean, you're always learning. So when you go out there every time and at a different track, you always want to have that edge on your competition. And these guys, I couldn't think of any guys that are better in the business that would know that track and know the series as much as Dave and John and Rick do. So.
And my final question for you is, I mean, you've run a little bit of truck racing out there in the ARCA series, and I think you made one or two starts for Mark Harmon Racing in the Camping World Truck Series back a few years ago. Is this your ultimate goal, is to get back into truck series or maybe even try and attempt to get back into the Xfinity series and move up? Or do you feel right now that you're just happy learning where you are in the Can-Am series and, you know, see where the chips may fall in the next year or so?
Well, I think, you know, as any other race driver that you know, drives in any series, you know, you always want to go to the highest level as possible and, you know, obviously grab the fullest potential that you can. I do like the truck series. I'll be honest with you. I think it's a great series. I think NASCAR does a great job at that. Xfinity series, absolutely. You know, I mean, as I said, the opportunity presented itself. I don't see why not. I think the biggest thing you have to look at, and you know, I always say this, you know, how fast you go pretty much, you know, depends on how much you want to spend. And you know, the sponsorship, as I said, that's the thing. That's a key ingredient. You've got to have a good reputation with your sponsor. So Bell Plantation and I have been together for 5 years. I mean, they've been great. Jill, Jason, I mean, they run a great operation. And it's more like a family, which is nice. You know, it's like we can talk on the phone anytime and we throw different ideas around. But that's the key thing. And I tell any young driver coming up, you've got to build a relationship with a sponsor. Because you know what? If you go down and say, hey, my name is Joe Johnson. Could you give me $1 million? They're probably not going to do that. And, you know, I actually learned from one of the best in the business. You know, a guy that was a former IndyCar driver, Dennis Vitolo, took me under his wing many years ago. And it's a well-known fact. And you know, he was driving IndyCar at the time. And Dennis would always tell me, you know, under-promise, over-deliver. You know, you can get to the highest level, you know, in any racing series, but you got to have that relationship with the sponsor, which is very important. You got to have that. So.
Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time to come on tonight. And I'm going to throw you back over to Tim here. I'm sure he's got a couple of questions for you. And I think we got a caller or two that might want to get on the line and ask you a few questions. Good luck in the rest of the 2015 K&M Pro Series. And I will be at Richmond in, I think it's September. They've moved a race there. And unfortunately, my hometown track right about 30 minutes away from me is Langley. And I won't be able to make that race because I'm leaving out of here for a week, but I will definitely try and meet up with you guys in Richmond in September.
Oh, we look forward to it. We also hope you feel better tonight. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, and Mike, just to throw something out, you know, we're going to the going to Thunder Valley. You're going to be running the K&M Pro E Series up there this Thursday or whatever. I can't remember the exact schedule, but I know. Just talk a little bit about what's the key to getting around Bristol on that high bank concrete track, Beth?
Well, the Bristol track, from what I've seen, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I utilize YouTube a lot, which it's a great thing. I'll tell you, you can learn a lot by watching YouTube. But I know last year Eddie McDonald won the race, and I know for a fact. I mean, talking to Eddie at Dover Downs last year, he was saying that the groove is very narrow. It's very atypical for two cars to go racing in the corner side by side, but What I learned from that track is that you've got to be able just to, you know, have your rhythm and run your pace out there. Because I'll tell you, Bristol is the type of track that can bite you, obviously, if you let it. So you got to be real careful in the corners, you know, checking them. And obviously, tire wear is an issue with a track like that. I kind of compare Bristol to Salem when I was in the ARCA series. Because Salem's got the high bank oval, you know, at the end, it's got the high banks. And I'll tell you, the first time going through that, the turns 3 and 4 at Salem, it was an eye-opener. I was like, wow. Because the car, you think the car is going to stick, and you're moving up towards the wall. You're like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's a real eye-opener. I imagine Bristol's going to be the same thing. You know, it's the same kind of layout. It's a very fast track. So you got to take that into consideration as well. You're going to have, you know, 30, 35 other cars around you. You know, that's a lot of cars to dice through. So I think you just got to kind of have to run your own race in that deal. And unfortunately, you know, you just got to watch the attrition. I mean, as I said, that's the thing. I mean, one thing I always learned in racing, you know, if there's a hole, you know, you go for it. If there's not a hole, don't make one. So that's what I would do. I think I'm just going to run it, like I said, kind of like my own race. And, again, just kind of, you know, feel the track out, much like I did at Salem in the ARCA series.
Yeah, 10-4, but, and, you know, you touched on Salem, and you just touched on Bristol, and I want to touch on Martinsville also. And not taking nothing away from Bristol, but you go that little half-mile public look up there in Martinsville, Virginia, and you got the concrete corners. Have you ever run at Martinsville? Mike, I don't want to put you on the spot. I just wanted to ask you, you know, maybe what would be, you know, Martinsville's flat and, you know, Bristol's banked. What's your take on that, Bill?
Well, Martinsville, I believe, is a flat track. I've never run at Martinsville, but, I've been there. I've watched the crew. I watched, you know, Mike Harmon drive there. You know, it's like I said, that track is very flat. So, you know, it's much like a Greenville Pickens. You know, Greenville Pickens is a very flat track. Those are the tracks where you know, everybody's diving to get to the bottom, you know, as you're out there and you're on and you're doing your laps. And it's like I said, I mean, you're right. It's a whole different ballgame. You think that Bristol and Martinsville could be compared as one, but they're really not. They're two different tracks. We are planning to go to Martinsville in the truck series later this year. So that's on the radar. And from what I've been told, I mean, you drive Martinsville a lot different than you drive Bristol, Tim.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough last year. Me and Suzanne got to go up there with Stephen Wilson and his wife, Anne Marie, and cover the Goody's Headache Relief Fast Out 500 during the chase. That was my first trip to Martinsville. And, man, I'm telling you, Mike, that's something, bud. That is a freaking racetrack. Martinsville, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, if y'all ever been You have got to go to Martin. Not taking nothing away from Bruton Smith and Bristol. I've been to Bristol 7-8 times since they hit me out, but I love Bristol. But I'm telling you, Mike Smith and Clay Kimball, that bunch of bears at Martin, they put on one hell of a show, buddy.
Oh, it is. It's a great track. It really is. I think it's a lot of history at Martinsville, too, because I remember when I was a kid, you know, and I watched the Cup guys, you know, driving at Martinsville. And, you know, in Bristol, where Dale Earnhardt, you know, senior, spun out Rusty Wallace or Terry Labonte, I think it was. And, you know, it's got a lot of – these tracks, all these tracks have a lot of history, especially when you're standing out there. Like, even in Greenville, you know, you're like, wow. Seeing all those names on the backstretch wall, like, wow, Benny Parsons. You're like, wow. Just the history of those tracks is just amazing. It really is.
Yes, sir, it is. I mean, all the great names that have been there. And, Mike, I know your time's empty, but we've got callers lined up. I got my good friend from upstate New York. His home track is Watkins Glen International. If I can, I'm about to bring Todd Bigsby on in the pit stop, Tammy Spanish, Stephen Wilson, and maybe let him ask your question, if that's okay, bud.
Oh, absolutely. Go right ahead, please.
All right, Tim, well, we're going to bring him on like we brought him.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Come on in here, Todd Bigsby from upstate New York. You're in the pit stop with Tim Spanish, Stephen Wilson, and Mike Seneca.
How you doing, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? What's going on? How you doing, brother?
Good. Do you plan on running up to the Glen in August?
That is on the schedule. We looked at that. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, I did a American endurance race there last October, and I'll tell you, that was my first time at the Glen, and yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought the track was just a lot of fun to drive that bus stop. You know, I finally got the bus stop figured out, but yeah, that's definitely on the radar, without a doubt.
Yeah, this coming weekend, we do it in our vehicles for charity.
Well, that sounds like fun. That's a lot of fun. That's a track, I'll tell you, you know, it's funny. It was just, you know, I was so amazed at that backstretch. I mean, you are like hauling the mail on that backstretch, and you get to the bus stop. I was just like, wow, I couldn't believe how much you could open the car. I was totally impressed.
Yeah, because I keep up with you on Facebook, so if you end up doing so, I'll see it up.
Well, we'd love to meet you. Absolutely. Look forward to it.
Now, how do you like running the K&N? I mean, like for the horsepower?
The horsepower, I'd say, is kind of comparable to an ARCA car. I think the series has run extremely well. I mean, Chris Wright does a great job. All the NASCAR officials have been very very warm welcoming, which is wonderful. I think it's a great series. That, you know, I kind of call it like, you know, where you're there in NASCAR and you're at the upper levels of racing. It's just a series that where you really got to, like Tim was saying, and the competition is just second to none. It's just a lot of great competition and a lot of clean racing, which is really great. So I enjoy running there.
Well, I appreciate you taking time and answering a question for me.
Well, you have a very, very nice night. I thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Todd, I'm going to throw you back over and mute. Mike, I know your time is limited, but this one took a little bit. Are you going to run the ARCA race, the International Northport Hall of Fame 200 here at Talladega Super Speedway this upcoming, well, I think it's a couple of weeks because we're going to Richmond, and then we're coming back to Talladega. Are you going to run that ARCA race, bud?
I'll tell you, Tim, we early in the year we looked at that, and we decided that we might do it. What we're doing right now, we're kind of focusing on NASCAR this year, but I think we are definitely looking at doing Chicago and Indianapolis, going out to Indy. And I've run that Indianapolis. I've been at that venue twice in the ARCA series. So you know what? You never know. I mean, we could have a last minute deal pop up. Sponsor Bell Plantation. That's kind of their stomping grounds. So yeah, I mean, you never say never. And I'm used to these last-minute deals sometimes. You put a deal together in like a week. It's like, wow, a lot of running around. So, you know what? It's a possibility you could see us down there in the ARCA series with Team Stay. Absolutely.
Okay, Temple. Just want to throw this out there, Mike. If I can, I posted it on social media. Thunder 92.7 FM here in Talladega, Diamonds Better Country, they've hired me to be a pit reporter for the ARCA race. 92.7 is going to cover the ARCA race here at Talladega Super Speedway that afternoon at 5 o'clock Central Time. Just want to throw that out there. And I will be a pit reporter with Grady South and Rufus T. Raspberry. So if you make it, down here, and if y'all go, if y'all try to, if you race here, let me put it like that, Mike. This is my first gig. I've got hired to be a pit reporter, so I'll see how it goes. See how this old redneck voice goes, bud.
Well, that's a wonderful accomplishment. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, Mike, I know your time is limited. Stephen had to drop. Stephen's a little bit under the weather, but we give everybody. I'm gonna leave Todd on here with us. No, I've got Todd and me. But Stephen had to drop. If you want to let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media, bud, and thank you, sponsors, you got the floor, my friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow me at M Seneca Racing on Twitter. You can follow my pro wrestling account at Mike Flight 1, that's FLYTE1. And, we'd like to thank our sponsors. I mean, Bell Plantation has been great. Check out for all your peanut butter supplies, powdered peanut butter. It's 85% less fat than regular peanut butter. BellPlantation.com, Cam 2 Motor Oil, Damn Good Jerky. I mean, we really appreciate that. Sip and Syrup and Dr. Select brand. Without the sponsors, we really couldn't do it. And, again, we just look forward to meeting the fans. I do a lot of NASCAR giveaways on social media, which is great. I love interacting with the fans. I mean, it's awesome. I think I'm up to, like, I think I have over, like, 18,000 followers, which is very nice. I mean, I'm very humbled by that. Again, just love talking to the fans. It's all about them, I'll tell you, because if it wasn't for the fans, we wouldn't be here, Tim.
Yes, sir, you got that right, bud. And the fans, the sponsorship, I want to thank you for what you do for the sport. K&N, whatever you venture into, Mike, I want to thank you. But just want to let you know, thank you for, I guess I won your hero card, but I've got Todd Bigsby back on, and Todd's dying to have a hero card. Todd, would you like to... Well, I tell you what, Todd, I'll put you and Mike in mute. And, Mike, if you don't mind, Todd would love to have one of your hero cards. He's a big hero card collector.
I would be delighted to send one. Absolutely. My pleasure.
All right. Mike, thanks again for coming on, bud. I'm going to put you and Todd over in mute.
Okay.
And I got a couple announcements to make.
Sounds good, Tim. Hey, thanks for
listening. You're welcome, my friend. Thank you very much. I can't wait to meet you, and good luck on your ventures, bud, and we'll see you on the flip side. I'm going to put you over with Todd.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mike Seneca, driver of the number 47 Bell Plantation Chevy for Team Stange in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East from Newark, New Jersey, Mr. Mike Seneca. And at this time, we've got a lot going on. Stephen had to drop. Stephen's a little bit under the weather. But I'm going to throw this out there. The number calling is 215-383-3681. We're giving away two more complimentary passes to the International Motorsports Hall of Fame in Talladega. And I want to throw this trivia question out there and see who all is going to call in, because I know I've got Todd in mute, so Todd's not going to hear it. Where is the International Motorsports Hall of Fame located in Talladega, Alabama? All right, this is for two complimentary passes to the International Motorsports Hall of Fame here in Talladega. Where is International Motorsports Hall of Fame located in Talladega? The number to call in is 215-383-3681. And I'm going to play a song waiting on Tony B to come on with his segment, Everything Up on Wheel. So let's get ready to rumble.
She couldn't keep from crying when she told me goodbye. But I knew, Lord, it was breaking her heart, but she was breaking mine. So for the sake of her feelings and the sake of my pride, I told her not to worry about me. I'm sitting here soaking up the neon light, misery, looking for some company. And tonight I'm looking for a party crowd, slamming them back and laughing out loud, where the smoke's so thick the blues can't hang around. With the jukebox jumping like it just don't care, if they're dancing over here or fighting. Oh.
gonna take my keys and lock them up tight. Let the good times flow. And I worry about tomorrow when it comes to light. The night's still young.
Back live from Talladega, Alabama, here at the Pit Stop with Tim Spanish, Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. I just sent out the trivia question. Stephen had to go. Stephen's a little bit under the weather. Trivia question to win two complimentary passes to the International Motor Court Hall of Fame here in Talladega. The question is, where is International Motorsports Hall of Fame located in Talladega, Alabama? I will repeat. Where is the International Motorsports Hall of Fame located in Talladega, Alabama? And at this time, we got a good friend, Mr. Tony B. Let's bring Tony B in. I got a special button for Tony B. He always does it. Tony B, come on in.
Hello, my dear friend.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, Tony B?
Everybody.
We're doing good. We've had a great show. We've had Mike Seneca drive a number 47 Bell Plantation Chevy for Team Stange in the NASCAR TNN Series on. We've had Stephen on. You probably heard Stephen had to go. I keep repeating this. I sound like a bad you know what. But Stephen's a little bit under the weather. And
well, I hate that for him.
Yeah, I do too. He's feeling better, you know, this pollen and stuff, you know, it sort of messes everybody up, but we got a good bit of rain here. And I think we have my good friend, Tony, can you hold on a minute? I'm trying to give away these two tickets. My good friend from Virginia, not far from Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com, my good friend, Don DeBoer. Let's bring Don in the Pit Stop, Tennis Spanish, Stephen Wilson, Tony B, and Todd Bigby.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Donna, how you doing tonight, sweetie?
I'm good. Just listening to the show and enjoying it as always. Sorry to hear that Stephen's under the weather. And
yeah, I think he's going to be okay, just like I was telling Tony B. You probably not talking to Tony B. But yeah, just like I was telling Tony B. I think his pollen's getting a little bit messed up, but he had to go, and are you calling in to answer the trivia question?
I am. I believe it's
okay.
31. Ready? 3198 Speedway Boulevard, Talladega, Alabama.
Address. Yes, ma'am. That's the address. Can you tell me exactly where it's located versus Talladega Super Speedway?
Where, you mean within the facility?
I'm messing with you, Donna, but I want to see if you know it, because I know you hit the address right dead on the head, but do you know exactly where it's located adjacent to Talladega City Field?
in reference to the Speedway.
Yes, ma'am. You've already hit the address. You've won the ticket.
You got the address. You got Speedway Boulevard.
Whenever I said location, you hit the address.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, well, I tried.
Where is it located? No, ma'am. You hit the address dead on the head. But where is the Alabama, I mean, where is the International Airport Hall of Fame located?
North of Talladega. It's located just north of the Talladega, Alabama Speedway Boulevard, next to the Speedway. No? Nope.
I can't deny you, Donna. I can't deny you. You hit everything. It's just north of everything. But what I was looking for, I mean, you hit the address. What I was looking for was just adjacent to Talladega City Speedway outside of Turn 4. But you have won the tickets. Everybody congratulate Donna. She has 2 free complimentary passes from the International Airport Hall of Fame to go anytime you want to, Donna. I think they expire December the 31st of this year, so you can come and go anytime. And Suzanne will mail them to you, and y'all can come anytime you want to. You know you got 2 tickets already. You know Grant's already offered you 2 tickets last year.
I know. Down there to the race, and I figured we'd get to the race, see y'all, and go to the museum all at the same time.
Sounds good, sweetie. And I'm going to tell you, you will love the Hall of Fame. There is so much stuff in there. My good friend Kim Myers wrote, she's over public relations now, along with Russell Branham and Tyler Super Speedway. They have done a lot here lately. They're trying to get everything going, but there's so much in there to see. You got Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s motorhome in there. You got the 2006 Daytona 500 winner, Jimmy Johnson's 48 cars in there. You got Dale Sr.'s car. I mean, there's so much to see. You got the car of Michael Waltrip that wrecked at Bristol years ago. You got Mike Harmon's car that wrecked at Bristol years ago. There's so much in there to see. I'm telling you, anybody that has not seen this needs to come. Not taking nothing away from NASCAR's Hall of Fame in Charlotte, but this is the international. You got everything from IndyCar, everything under this one roof, just like Kim said.
Well, I like all racing. That would be up my alley because I like all racing. But I'm looking forward to seeing y'all in Richmond, so just bring them with you.
Okay.
Remember, we're going to hang out in the garage at Richmond, so.
Yes, ma'am, we will. So I'll bring them to Richmond. I won't have to mail them to you. So, Donna, I know you've not, I don't know if you talked to my good friend Tony B. I won't let you talk to my good friend Tony B. He was the front tire changer for their old friend Kenny. Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, was it when he won the 2012 Indianapolis 500, and you also won the 2013 Rolex 24 at Daytona with Juan Pablo Montoya, Jimmy McMurray, and all that, but right, Tony?
Oh, yeah, I know. I've been listening to Tony, and y'all are fighting over who's going to wear the ring first.
Yeah, and that's between Suzanne and Tim. I'm wearing it now. Come on. Now, Donna, you could get in this spin if you want to win. But it's quite all right. God bless you for being such a fan and such a follower. And
oh, yeah, listen every week to you guys. It's so nice. You know, I like all racing, so I like to hear about other things going on and other types of racing other than just NASCAR. So.
Yeah.
But,
that's my whole world. Yes.
Yeah, when my son went to college at in Indiana, we went to the track there, and we went through the museum, and that was interesting
to
see all of that.
Indiana?
He
I
went to IU,
well.
Indiana University.
Oh, well, I don't root for that basketball team because I like Purdue. Go Boilers.
Yeah, well, that's where he went to college, you know. So.
Well, God bless him. That's a good place to go.
Yes, it was. You know, if he could just get a job in his communication degree, we'll be doing good.
Well, if he could try to do some communications with a crew chief and a driver, we might be able to hook him up pretty quick.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. We'll have to get you down here to Virginia and go racing with us.
Well, we can do that because there's some good stuff in Virginia, and I like racing all over, and it doesn't matter if it's midgets, sprint cars, NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One. It just really doesn't matter. I've worked on them all, and I know how they work, and been about every kind of race. So my daddy got me doing this when I was a young man, and I'm not quitting now.
Nope. I might be old, but I'm always ready to go racing.
Well, I am old. But if I die, I
want to
go see my
dad. Tony, you ain't old. I've been holding back on this information. Stephen's about to wear my phone out. But Donna, since I got you on, and I got Todd in me. But anyway, we can bring Todd on here in a minute. But I got Tony and Donna. I've got some breaking news.
Okay.
Suzanne got an email from Richmond International Raceway this morning, and Stephen's about ready to jump at the bit to break it on social media. We will be giving away a big thing.
Talk to you all later.
Hold on a minute, Donna.
Oh, I'm holding on.
Hold on.
Okay.
You got to hear this, Donna. A big thanks to Dennis Bickmeyer, President of Richmond National Raceway, and Amy Turner, Public Relations Director. Suzanne got an email this morning. My darling wife, I'm going to give some big kudos to Suzanne. The Pit Stop Radio, along with SpeedwayDigest.com, we are giving away two tickets to next Saturday night's race at Richmond International Raceway. The Toyota, I don't want to mess it up. I don't have it right here in front of me. We are giving away two tickets next Tuesday night on the Pit Stop Radio to the Saturday night race, the Toyota Owners 400.
I don't have tickets for Saturday night. Oh, you got Saturday night's tickets.
We've got Saturday night's tickets. I'm going to give a big kudos to Suzanne. We're going to give them away next Tuesday night. We're going to let Mr. Dennis Bickmeyer, we're going to let him do the trivia question next Tuesday. So some breaking news. And just want to let y'all know that, Donna, while I had you on. We're giving away two tickets.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I will definitely be there. I have season tickets at Richmond.
Okay.
We always go Friday. We get Friday nights on Friday, but I have season tickets for Saturday. I wouldn't miss Richmond.
That's when we're giving away.
Great
we're going to give them away for a cup race Saturday night at Richmond.
Awesome. Good luck there, everybody.
Just to let you know, Donna. And Dennis Bickmeyer,
dear.
President at Richmond National Raceway, is going to be in charge of the trivia question.
Dennis is such a nice guy. Such a nice guy. He works hard. They do a good job at Richmond for everything that they do for the fans. I can tell you that. You won't not have a good time at Richmond.
Yes, ma'am.
There's
you're
so much
exactly
going
right.
on
just
out
like
in the midway for the fans.
Everybody's so nice. But, Donna, thank you very much. And
all right, thanks, guys.
We will bring you these two tickets to the International Sports Hall of Fame here in Talladega, Alabama, to Richmond next week. I think we're flying out Thursday, so we can correct me. But anyway,
yeah,
Donna,
we'll
thank
be
you very
on
much
Thursday,
for
we
being
won't.
A great supporter.
We just have to make plans
thank
for us
much,
to get to Talladega.
Yes,
all right,
ma'am.
Y'all have
you
a good night,
right.
I'll listen
you
to the rest
it.
Of the show.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
Night, everybody. Thanks, Tony. Bye.
Thank you.
That's a good friend, Donald DeBoer, from up there close to Richmond. Okay, Tony, I'll give it back over to you. Since I've done that, I'm going to put myself in mute and let Stephen know he can promote everything. And I want to bring Todd on. But if I can, let me bring Todd back in, Tony, and I'll let you and him talk a minute. And I'm going to be on the side for just a second. But
that'll be fine.
Tony.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, doing well, and you know, I sent you some invitations for we got to help try save that track in New York, where they're closing it at the fairgrounds.
Yes,
and I invited you to a show down there, to a race. I believe it's called the Salt City 78.
Yeah. I can't remember if I got that yet or not, but I got the thing for October.
Okay.
For the now, are you going to that?
I'm going to put it on my list. A friend of mine, Gerald Parks, asked me to go down, and I thought I might get a chance to see you, and it would be good for the Pit Stop Radio Show to, you know, get some places, and I'm going to get some places anyhow, and going to go down there and try to see what I can do to help them folks. Hate to see any facility go in the motorsports arena. Want them all to stay around, and that's something I kind of want to talk about tonight, Todd, is we had a new racetrack for the Indy Racing League, IndyCar. They was at New Orleans, about 30 miles from downtown New Orleans, and things didn't go real well for the boys down there, and that was a 115-minute race, and only 30-some-odd minutes were under green flag. And there was some pretty bad crashes. Nobody hurt real bad, but, you know, tearing up the equipment and whatnot. And I got a good friend that wrote an article about it. And the bottom line is he had it right when he said how they got basically a club racetrack put together to host one of the major sporting events in motorsports, you know, IndyCar, NASCAR, Formula One, they all rank right up there. And, excuse me, they just didn't put on a very good show. Did you see any of it?
No, I didn't. I get to see any.
Well, it rained a good part of the time. And, you know, they couldn't get the fans in there without busloading them in there. And, you know, they a mile away, they charged them $20 to park and got them into the race facility and where you had to buy a ticket anyhow. And there were very few that stayed to see the end. And, you know, I don't have a problem with Mr. Hinchcliffe winning the race, but he took the race over under a yellow flag, and there just wasn't much racing there.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty bad, you know, like for those guys, because they do run during the rain.
Absolutely.
And those guys, I do mean from what I've seen from watching, because, you know, if it's racing, I'm usually watching it no matter what it is. And how those guys can handle those cars as fast as they go in those kind of conditions is beyond me.
Yeah, they do a really good job, and Firestone has a really good rain tire. And from being a tire specialist in IndyCar, they're heavier. They don't last very long. And if the track starts drying out, I don't know if you've ever seen them drivers drive in the wet spots for almost looks like they're doing it on purpose. Well, I'm just filling you in, they are. Because those rain tires get hot. And when they get hot, they go away quick. And
you got to
cool them down by running them in some water. So you'll catch them fellas doing it. But, you know, it's unfortunate for IndyCar that there's so many people down on them. But, you know, I'm just happy they put on a good show and, you know, nobody's injured and, you know, they're going to another track. They do, you know, I think they do need to come back and use some of the tracks like Road America. You've got a great track in New York. Why aren't they running there? You know, so there's a lot to talk about and a lot of places we'd like to see them. What do you think about that, Todd?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like at the Glen, I mean, of course, in my day of growing up, you know, I know it was before my time because my dad was at the Glen delivering some scaffolding. And back then, and I say back in the day, you know, he got some pictures of when they were on crack. And since growing up, I don't ever remember him being there. But I've gotten to see the Rolex cars run there. And I'm like, boy, these Indy cars, they do a lot of other tracks. I'm wondering why they're not doing the Glen. I haven't seen it yet. You know, I mean, they do the Saline 6 hours at the Glen. Why not bring in some IndyCar and bring in some more crowd?
I'd love to see that.
You know, you watch an Indy race, okay? You see them stands packed. You watch a nationwide race, they're not all that packed. Then
you know,
Sunday,
nationwide and truck don't do as good as NASCAR, and IndyCar doesn't do as good as NASCAR, but, you know, they are trying, and, you know, of course, if you listen to me, I want to see them run more ovals, you know, but I drift back in the day when Billy Bukovich, Billy Englehart, A.J. Foyt, Johnny Rutherford, Mario Andretti, they not only ran that Indy car, but they ran a temp dirt car. They ran a midget. They ran a sprint car. And, you know, the great part of where I've been raised and grown up is Tom Bigelow and all these big names from motorsports from back in the day. I watched them all race at local tracks in different venues, different vehicles. And then when you get to Indy, you know, they always talk about people putting their hands in the fence and trying to get somebody to talk to them. Well, hell, we not only got talked to, but Roger McCluskey, Billy Vukovich, people like that, they knew our names because we watched them race everything, and Indy was just another race for us. It was a big race for them, but they knew us, and, you know, that's not how the drivers are put together these days, and I like seeing drivers start at the bottom and work their way to the top. And we got a lot of drivers been on this show, and I got to put praise out to Grant Enfinger for winning again.
Yep.
That man's got it going on. What do you think about that, Todd?
I think it's awesome. Of course, you're 100% right. I'm the same way. I like watching them when they're younger and then growing up, going through this series. I think it's great that these kids are learning and moving forward. And, you know, last year at the Glen, we got to meet Cole Custer, got his autograph. Mm-hmm. After that, he jumped in the truck and won a race. I was like,
right.
Ooh, yeah. You know, it was awesome because we got to meet him. And then
right.
He jumped up and did that. So, to me, that's amazing to watch these kids grow. And if they listen to the older people that have the knowledge, they will benefit so much further.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I think one way to reach down to the fans is make it easier for them to walk by them. Like, you know, I'm not a guy that will just go to an IndyCar race or a NASCAR race. I go, you know, USAC, MSCS, All-Star, you know, go to Eldora and visit Tony and the gang there when they run the races there. But all you can walk in the pits, and these folks will talk to you and respect you. And if IndyCar and NASCAR want to do anything to get the fans back, especially if you're going to let them ride a paycheck like Simona DiSilvestro and Takuma Sato and stuff like that, you know, introduce them to the fans. Let the fans get close to them. And, you know, hey, it's all right after the race starts. Run them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But let them be there until it does. And, you know, show some respect. Because if it wasn't for us, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Right.
You got to know that.
Now, last year, this year, we're doing pit row at Watkins Glen.
Mm-hmm.
For the Sprint Cup.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah. So my fiance has never done it. Her son's never done it. So this year I decided to make it special and let them do something they've never done before.
Fantastic.
But as far as what you're talking about, you know, the drivers, you know, spend a little time with the fans, we seen it at the Glen last year. If you're not scheduled to do an autograph session or something, the drivers are so busy, they don't even take a whole lot of time to see the fans. So you can catch a glimpse when they go by, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to admit, you know, the bottom line is if you create Frankenstein, you got to know how to live with it. Those drivers were created and trained in that atmosphere, and that's why they do what they do. That doesn't mean we can't change it and get it going another way, because I'm going to tell you, Dario Franchitti and Scott Dixon, two of the most cordial men you'd ever meet in your life, and they like people, and they don't mind talking to them. It's when you tell them that you don't have to be anywhere but here, they adhere to that, and that's how they live. So,
you know,
it all can be changed. And I know Mr. Despain, when he goes to the racetrack, he likes seeing not only the drivers and the crew chiefs and the crew members, because there is no I in team in motorsports. Every person is important, and it's good to see these people and thank them for what they do, because they're not making that big money like them drivers like you think they are. Not in all these places, no sir.
Right. But, you know, there are some drivers, you know, that do, like, you know, found Joe Nemechek. He'd spend all day with Joe. He didn't mind. He was happy-go-lucky. You know, if they got the time, they do it. If not, they just go about their schedule.
Yep.
And that's what they follow.
Joe's a good one. And, you know, I go way back even with NASCAR. And, you know, the likes of people, and not many people remember Jody Ridley, but I sure do. And, you know, there are some great people that are still around that raced NASCAR back in the day and IndyCar and USAC and World of Outlaws. And, you know, got to put a little prayer out there for Jason Johnson. Had that World of Outlaws crash and broke his back. And he's going to need our prayers to try to recover. And Pittman also was involved in the crash. And they flew him to see Dr. Terry Trammell in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Methodist Hospital, and repaired his broken collarbone, shattered up by a safety device, and I'm not going to say which one, but it's one that needs to go away. What do you think, Todd?
Yeah. Yep. Safety is.
Go ahead.
Safety is number one.
Amen and hallelujah. Yes, sir, it is. How you feeling?
Well, I got to go for another MRI. I just found out today. So.
Well, it's great to have you on the radio show, and you know, get all those tests done and put that stuff behind you. It don't matter what's in the rearview mirror. It's tomorrow that we want to get to.
Yeah, yeah. I just keep thinking positive and looking forward.
Yes, sir.
I got Dover race coming up here, so I'm trying to get in shape for that.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Kim and Suzanne are, along with Anne-Marie and Stephen, they're going to Richmond. And I'm trying to pull together every way I can to get to Talladega.
Yeah. They're all of our, as I say, our southern tracks. So they're south of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been to Talladega before. And it's an incredible place. Grant Lynch does a fabulous job, and all those people that work there, they know how to take care of people. And it, to me, and I've been to racetracks all around the world, big, small, little, and I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better than the Talladega Motor Speedway.
I've heard a lot of good things about the track, about the facility there. Never been there. Maybe one day I might get lucky.
You definitely need to put it on your bucket list, my friend.
Yep, no doubt.
And I'll tell you what, Todd, if you get to where you can go down there, make sure you let me know, because I got good friends that live down there, and I'll get them off the Piggly Wiggly, and we'll get you some bacon for when you get there. You can have a bacon sandwich while you watch the best race in the world, brother.
We just had... you might know him, Chef James Lupo.
Mm-hmm.
We just had him at our place for a week.
Fantastic.
Got him away and got him so he could come out to our country.
Fantastic. Timmy D, are you back? Are you live? Come in.
Yes, sir. I'm here, bud. I'm here. Just sitting back listening to y'all talking about all this open wheel stuff, operation stuff, and just having a blast, bud.
Well, I'll tell you, if you saw any of that IndyCar show, you know, I can understand why people were upset, even some of the drivers. But God bless them for getting to go out there and put on a show in the free United States of America. And amen, brother. A lot of good things going on, and we just keep helping where we can help, and I'm trying to get to Alabama.
Yes, sir. Amen, Tony B. We can't wait for you and Jen to get here. But I'm going to read off this weekend's schedule at Richmond Motor Speedway Friday. The Sprint Cup Series qualifying all times Eastern, 4:45 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Saturday, the Xfinity Series qualifying is at 9:45 a.m. on Fox Sports 1. Then the race, Xfinity Series Drive to Stop Diabetes 300, is 1:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Your TV coverage, your radio coverage is on PRN. And then Sunday, the Sprint Cup Series, Food City 500 in support of Steve Burns, is at 1 p.m. Fox has your TV coverage and PRN has your radio coverage. All times is Eastern. Tony, do you have anything? Let everybody know where they can follow you on social media.
You can follow Tony Baginski 1 at Twitter, at Tony Baginski 1, or you can look Tony Baginski up on Facebook, and I'll accept you as a friend. And thank you very much. And, you know, I have to thank Pit Stop Radio Show with Tim and Suzanne. You do a wonderful job. SpeedwayDigest.com. Thank you, Stephen and Anne-Marie. And Todd, it's great having you in here, too. And I just feel blessed to have done another show and can't wait till next week and find out who's going to win those Richmond tickets, because that's exciting.
Tony, thank you very much. And Todd, I want to thank you, and I think I've done, I'm fixing to stir something up, if you don't mind, Tony. I want to ask Todd if he would be gladly to be your co-host on your show in the second hour on Everything Open Wheel. Todd, Tony, is that okay with you? Todd, would you like to do that?
Sure, I would.
Well, it'd be all right with me, Mr. Bixby. I love your voice and your background and your information. And if you could get a Coke tab and make it like a ring, just promise Tim and Suzanne that they can wear it.
Okay. And I feel very honored. Thank you.
That's good. I'm glad we got, now, Tony, you got somebody to help you out. But anyway, Todd, Tony probably knows what now. Todd probably knows what I'm talking about, too. We will pay you in wooden nickels, if that's okay, Todd.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. Gentlemen, is there any last thoughts? Tony, you have any last thoughts? Todd, you have any last thoughts? Y'all got the floor. If y'all want to keep going, I'll step aside and let y'all keep going. Y'all got the floor.
I just want everybody out there to help their local motorsports, whatever venue it is, support their sponsors, support the venues, and help keep this great motorsports going in the U.S. of A. And God bless all the fans and all the helpers and the crew chiefs and the families and the crew members. And I just want to thank them and reach out to them. And we're just going to keep doing what we do and help as many people as we can. I'll throw it over to you, Todd, and it's all yours.
Just want to thank the Pit Stop with Tim, Susan, Steven. You guys are wonderful. Just hope that everybody has a good, safe week and some good racing this weekend, and everyone be safe is all I'm asking.
10-4, Todd. 10-4, Tony. So I guess I'm going to have to change the episode to Tony B's segment, Everything Open Wheel with Tony B and Todd Bigsby. Gentlemen, thank you very much. We're going to Bristol International Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. And then next weekend, Suzanne and I are flying out on a Thursday. We're going to Richmond International Raceway to cover that with Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com, and his lovely wife, Anne-Marie. So good night, ladies and gentlemen, from Talladega, Alabama.
Was the summer before the real world started, and the deal was we would get to go if we claimed. cleaned it up and got it running. That is old Winnebago. Winging a prayer down a 65. My best friend on four ball ties. I can still see Billy smiling when we finally made it to Talladega.